It's already gone. Get a time machine. How are you, Phil Leonis?
I am overwhelmed by the honor of being introduced by myself. It's so funny when you play a clip of me leading into me. That's just...
Yeah, well, as you know, we did the same thing with Helen Slater, so it's very important.
Yeah, no one ever introduces themselves as well as themselves.
I think so. It's very important. It's critical stuff. So...
When I used to do some live performing, way back, you know, back in the days of vaudeville.
Back in Throwback Thursday, when we weren't sorting out all sorts of other areas, etc. Yes.
I used to have an introduction that I would ask people to read for me, and the last line, you know, it would sing my praises, list my credits and my accomplishments, and then the last line that the announcer would always say would be, "And the man who wrote this introduction for himself, Phil Leonis." And I always thought that was, you know, that was...
It's pushing the boundaries, Phil. Like we've tried to do... We try to do with this show on a weekly basis, and of course you do with Chill Pack Hollywood. So, you've got four fabulous souls in the studio. Can you believe that Musna is not American, and in fact is indeed Kuwait, Bangladesh, come Australian? I can't. I mean, honestly, you know, surely.
Well, you can't even believe that Helen Slater's Canadian.
she doesn't believe it herself. Did you not hear the girl? Goodness sakes! You know. Anyway, what have you made of this little offering we've put forward to the gods of Mount Olympus on this, the last midweek drive of May in the year of our Lord 2014?
Well, that's quite an august show when you put it that way. I loved the interview with Helen Slater, and of course I loved that you played her music, and it underscores something that Dean and I, as you know, talk about a great deal in our show, Chill Pack Hollywood Hour, that is, namely, no matter how closely one is identified with any particular role, and this, of course, applies to actors as well as people in other fields, but especially when people become celebrated in a certain way, no matter how much you identify them with a particular role, that is just a small part of who they are and what they have to offer. And when we look at them so exclusively through that prism, we really deny ourselves the rich variety they have to offer. And that's one of the things that I've always found so rewarding about a great many science fiction fans, is that their appreciation for the actors and the writers and the directors of the shows or movies that they like extends so far as in embracing the other works that they do and their other avenues of exploration.
And we don't like to pigeonhole our stereotype. So, whom would you like to go to as far as the show is concerned for the remaining 900 seconds that we actually have to share this Los Angeles link with your good self, Phil?
Well, I had a story that I wanted to tell, but I also, since it seems that the reaction to Godzilla in the room was quite positive, I was curious about what people had seen prior to the movie coming out. Did they feel that they got the movie that they went to see? Because what I'm experiencing here, and I know that trailers and advertising differs from country to country, but the reaction here has been one of underwhelming enjoyment, largely because it seems that they sold the film to audiences here under false promises. Namely, that people went thinking that they were going to see a Bryan Cranston film where Bryan Cranston was the star, and then it turns out Bryan Cranston doesn't have that big of a part, and instead it's the kid from Kick-Ass who's the lead.
Well, it is Aaron Taylor-Johnson. He was John Lennon, and he will actually be heading off to be another sort of superhero. He's going to be the Flash, Pietro. No, the Flash. Sorry, let me get my comic book scenario here. Of course, he's going to be the Quicksilver character, Pietro Maximoff, in one of the Joss Whedon scenarios.
So was it well known there that young Mr. Johnson was actually the lead in the film?
Well, let's put it, Musna,
No, I have to say that was a surprising moment when Bryan Cranston, that character kind of disappears off the movie, because yes, the trailing here and the publicity very much pushed for him forward as the headliner, and he was. And I was even more surprised by the fact that Juliette Binoche, who is an amazing actress, had even less time.
But she dies.
I mean, like, in the first I thought that for sure that she was going to come back as sort of a radioactively charged character in the end, because how could you
Godzilla Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it was actually, I would have to say that the main attraction or the main character is definitely Godzilla. Because Aaron, what is his name? Aaron?
Taylor Johnson.
He is like fairly wooden, I would say, throughout the film. He's like they're all facilitators.
He's not a Matthew Broderick,
is he?
Let's face it.
He's wooden. So, in other words, Aaron Taylor Johnson he's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh. Yeah.
Would you rather see Taylor Kitsch in the lead role, Phil? Come now.
Anyone named Taylor? I mean, is this how we're casting these days? We just go through the Rolodex to T. Now, were the people, were your co-presenters? I mean, Alex, obviously, you know all the, going back to Raymond Burr, the original Godzilla. But was this the first Godzilla for any of you, or...
No, well, I've seen the
Deeper Underground,
the Matthew Broderick version,
action hero,
which I'm not a huge fan of, and I didn't appreciate the way that they really rewrote the figure of Godzilla.
But Jim Marquardt obviously had something to do.
I'll let you in on a little secret. Neither was the filmmaker a fan of that Godzilla while he was making it. It was Roland Emmerich who had done, of course, Independence Day and Stargate, the original movie Stargate, and this was had big expectations on it. And I visited the set one day because my co-producer on my film, The Lady Killers, one of the leads in the film, Bert Bulos, was in that Godzilla, and so I would go and visit him because it was this enormous set and this huge undertaking. And one day, I witnessed Roland Emmerich at his at the director's seat at the monitor. And he started smelling the air around him. And the historical perspective one needs to have is that in Hollywood, the words water world were terrifying words because it was one of the hugest flops in Hollywood
history.
It had
Kevin Costner on a raft. What's not to appreciate about
that? And it had just come out a couple years earlier and lost a bazillion dollars. And on set that day on Godzilla, Roland Emmerich, watching what they were filming, starts smelling the air, and slowly everybody stops what they're doing and watches, wondering what the director is doing. And he stands up, and he still is smelling the air.
It's just poor personal hygiene.
All of a sudden, he yells out, "I smell water world!"
Oh, no.
So he knew that that dog did not hunt.
I might actually use that when I'm actually marking a student essay every so often.
That's a good one,
I smell water world.
you know what I find, I don't know whether I find it amusing or disconcerting, Alex. You tell me which I find it. But I find that the whole Godzilla reboot is a wonderful case of culturally America gives and America takes away. Because indeed, we gave Japan Godzilla by... dropping a couple of atomic bombs on the country. And now that it's been proven to be a big movie star that can make money, we take it away from them and make just clearly Americanized versions of their monster creation. Should I be amused by that?
Phil, I'm still stunned by the fact that it was Shaggy what won the Gulf War. That's the thing which Gabrielle has revealed
Shaggy's
to me.
Shaggy's amazing. He can do no wrong.
So I was amused by the... I also have a question that I need to get to on the show. But I was amused by the story of Sigourney Weaver, meeting James Cameron, what a big thrill it was, as it would be, understandably, for a science fiction journalist. However, I'm amused by it because it's not really that difficult to get to meet people
like this.
As evidence of this fact, I was once involved in a shoot on Hollywood Boulevard, near the Chinese Theater, where, you know, all the stars get their stars on the Walk of Fame, and the Chinese Theater, where so many legendary performers put their hands and footprints in cement. And people love coming out and visiting the Walk of Fame, and they get their pictures taken by, you know, by these stars on the sidewalk. So I'm out there nearby where Sigourney Weaver has just had her star put on the Walk of Fame. And there's these people who want to pose for a picture next to that star. So they wait for somebody to come by, and the first person walking by, they hand them their camera and say, will you take us a picture of us by Sigourney Weaver's star? That person they handed the camera to was, in fact, Sigourney Weaver. Wow. And they did not recognize her.
Well, that's because she's a damn good actress, Phil. That's what we said. You know, you just slip into that, as you said with Bryan Cranston at Comic-Con. You know, I'm very excited.
I also think it's proof that we spend so much time staring at the ground that we don't recognize who's right around us. But she had just walked out because she'd never gotten to see during the star ceremony where she was placed, what other famous people were around her. And as a fan, obviously, of the arts, she was curious in her connection to history. So she just came out kind of anonymous and just walked to check out where her star was. And sure enough, there's somebody shoving a camera in her face saying, take a picture of us. So
Shocking, but at the same time, slightly amusing as well.
Also,
you know?
Amusing.
Out there one time, and this is going back 15 years, I got to meet one of my favorite character actors who was out there. Maybe he was coming to Hollywood for one of the first times, and he was out looking at these handprints and these footprints and these stars, and I recognized him, and it was Timothy Spall, so wonderful in so many Mike Lee movies, and he just won this year Best Actor at the Cannes Film Festival recently. And I like to think that if he comes to America again, now I won't be the only one recognizing.
There we have it. Or as we like to say with Timothy, au Wiedersehen, pet. One or two people might get that. Many people won't. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Alex, I you know what? I'm so sorry that I can't remember these ladies' names, but you mentioned...
Which ladies are these, Phil?
Well, no, you mentioned Studio the Los ladies? Angeles connection. You mentioned the Los Angeles connection,
yes,
so much, and I just feel like it's been a little while. Maybe they're on the morning edition, and that's why I don't get to hear them. But there is your talent agent correspondent here in Los Angeles, and or is she a manager, a talent manager? Do you know of whom I speak?
We have several in there. Kelly Duncan Joyner, of course.
Kelly Duncan Joyner. Yes. I feel like I haven't heard her. Or has she been on the morning edition?
She's done one or two, but of course, as we like to say, the morning edition is the post-midnight show in Los Angeles. Very critical we get those balances right. You know, we're going to have to work on an Australian sort of aspect of that. But, yeah, it's Kelly was on a couple of weeks ago, actually. Was she not? She was with us, wasn't she? Yes.
I think she was, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Well done, Rachel. Keep us in order from that point of view.
And what about the young lady who's a stand-up comic out here in Los Angeles?
Do you know, we haven't featured her for a wee while, but that would be Carol Elizabeth Mitchell, I think. No, not Elizabeth Mitchell. She's an actress who may be joining us on the not-too-distant future. Caroline Mitchell. So, yes, good point, Phil. Yeah, you have reminded us, you have prompted us, that we have midweek drivettes that are out there who probably are being lost and they need to be brought back to the fold. But remember...
Well, I believe that at some point...
It's like going to Gibraltar. It's not for life. It's not a life sentence.
Obviously, the Mayan calendar is not going to end again, but there needs to be some circumstance that requires us to do another transatlantic live broadcast, and it would be so
25 hours.
Well, no, it doesn't even have to be more than in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. That would be fine, mm-hmm. But something where we assembled all the Los Angeles correspondents under one roof.
All right, then.
And interacted with your good self.
Well, it could be quite interesting. Meanwhile, we trailed ahead by saying that this week Phil Leonis will actually reveal the truth behind the missing Asian airline. You have a few moments to share with that information, or as you were informed as you headed off to deal things in Washington, D.C., how it was Chilpack Hollywood who... It's all to do with batteries, apparently.
That kind of phrase
went nowhere. I mean, if I was to analyse that from an English point of view, that was a piece of scripting which was just so off. It was just, I don't know where we were going, but anyway.
Well, what's off is the idea that you think I'm going to reveal the big hidden secret that we reveal on our show, on your show.
Yeah.
No one would need to listen to our show,
Alex.
But I will say this, that I learned some very interesting information while in Washington, D.C., from a very impressive man who has worked for multiple presidents, going all the way back to John F. Kennedy. And he, his business card, as I reveal on the show, has his name, and his official title simply says beneath his name, Special Situations.
Oh, Mr. Situations.
And if that is not intriguing, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. But yes, he told me to 70% accuracy what is believed to be the cause and the answer for all of the mysterious circumstances on the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. Mm-hmm. And it also underscored something that is so true about conspiracy theories in general, which is that so much of them is motivated by a need to prove everything to 100% certainty. And the truth is, most things in this life we can never prove to 100% certainty. We have to accept the 70% probability factors at best.
Musna, would you like to give me a number between 2 and 27, please?
26.
And your debut selection from Mike Dooley's Universal Thoughts comes up with this.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration, but being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up the universe.
There we are, you see. Nice, short, to the point. It's positive stuff there. Right, Phil, a couple more minutes. We will squeeze in Brian Walton's line if Samantha Sheldon's still saying, but what about the Red Hot Chili Peppers? We'll play them for you tomorrow morning, Sam. You can join us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but time is tight, so where do you wish to go? Do you want to actually have a few words with...
Alex, the wonderful poetess Maya Angelou died today.
Indeed, yes.
No!
And I'm struck by one of her famous quotes, which was that, you know, it ultimately... It is not what we say that matters. It is not what we do that matters. It is how we make people feel that will be remembered. And it's extraordinary that it came from that woman, that saying, because as great as her work was, and it was peerless, the story that she told with her life, the story that she embodied, was far surpassed the beauty and the significance of her written word. Indeed, we will all remember Maya Angelou because of how she made us feel.
I think that sums it up. Would you like to say farewell or au revoir to Gabriella Peralta, our girl from Gibraltar?
Well, I mean, which one means a temporary farewell, right? I mean, that's it, right? We will talk to Gabriella again, won't we?
Yeah, hopefully, but... I'm off to Gibraltar, so that's my...
So much as a by your leave, honestly.
Yeah, that's the end of my University of Lincoln career.
You are going to be dominating all media in Gibraltar.
Queen of the world.
And and you will be inviting me on to whatever shows you host there, because how will I go without semi-regularly speaking to you?
Exactly, yes. When I become Queen of the World, that will definitely happen.
Katie's been tuned in. She might return as well before too long. Rachel, have you enjoyed the show?
Of course, anyway.
Back again tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Yeah, of course, tomorrow we're off to Tallulah Rendell in London as well. It's so exciting. Anyway, that's The Banshee in the Moon. Musna, have you enjoyed your debut on the production?
Yeah, it's been super.
Is it what you were expecting?
No, it's not what I was expecting at all. You guys, like, really do things off the cuff here. And there's a lot of, like, this is happening. I thought I'd be, like, brief. There was no brief.
What do you think the running order is?
I swear. I don't know if I am allowed to swear, but
no.
I didn't, just in case. Okay, good. But no, it's been really fun.
Well, there we are. Jane, have you enjoyed the programme?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much.
Back again very soon?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. Don't forget, of course, this weekend, it's the Lincolnshire Show comes down. We'll be talking with Amelia Highfields tomorrow. tomorrow morning at 9:15 about that. So exciting stuff there. Cameron Tilbury, Gemma Wayne, Tara Bennett, Michelle Munro, Helen Slater, and Phil Leonis. And of course, Ed Welton for his Madrigal moment. We salute you. I do believe that it's Mr. Wiley. Rhymes, you know, who's up next? Rhymes with Smiley. Yes, Mr. Wiley is coming up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
New show. Very okay. Important. So we'd call him Mr. Wiley. It's a health show. So that's a wrap from there. That's it, Phil. What two questions do we need to ask Phil Leonis? Jane, would you like to just pop them to Phil?
Hi, Phil. Have you enjoyed talking to us today?
I have reasonably enjoyed my telephonic link.
Reasonably?
I know, we work so hard, Jane. People just don't realise.
And so will you be joining us again soon?
Of course, I will speak to you, though not Gabriella, next week.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Just hold it together. Hold it together.
I can't. I'm just so sad.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.